Okay, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for your graciousness to us, allowing us to share the Word of God today, and we pray that you'll give us direction. And we've thought about this a long time, and so we just ask, Lord, that you'll continue to guide and direct in these details. Thank you for the love of the Word of God these folks have, and we just ask you to burn it within our hearts, in Jesus' name. Amen. Our message this afternoon is very similar to this morning's message. It'll be part two. It's dovetailed right in. It's amazing how that happens. Shouldn't be amazing because we know God's in charge of all. But some time ago, my wife and I were reading in the Old Testament, and we came across a word that we saw. And we, interesting, I wonder what that means. And then we're a little... Few days later, we read another portion of Scripture, and there's the same word appear. And I thought, this is interesting. I haven't had time to do this. So I took time, and I did some study. And that word is found in the title of the message today. The word is treasure. Treasure. What do you think of when you see that word? Is it, do you see a treasure chest full of money? Do you see a pirate on the ocean, and he has this big chest downstairs, you know, on this lower level of his quarters, and he has it full of coins, and it's just heaped right up like this? Something like that. That's usually the case, isn't it? We have visual sight of what we think is what this word means. The use of the word treasure in the Bible refers to anything collected in storehouses, like grain, wine, oil, brass, silver, gold, coins, money, anything of that nature. It's a collection. It's something that's stored away, sometimes in abundance, by the way. Even God himself stores up treasures. Even God stores up treasures. And we find that these are the words from Psalm 135:7. He causes the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He makes a lightning for rain. He rests the wind from his treasures. So maybe why we have a drought is because God's holding on all the wind and rain, and one day he's going to let it loose. See, that's the idea. Joseph and Egypt, he stored up grain in storehouses for the future of saving God's people for the 7-year period of time. Pharaoh compelled the Hebrews to build him treasure cities where were for Pharaoh and his treasures. Kings of Judah had treasure cities in which to store their treasures as well. And often we find a number of kings in Judah had treasure cities, and it's interesting what happens over the years. Treasure is often used to denote great abundance. Jesus said, Colossians chapter 3, in Jesus Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Solomon also used the same expression and thoughts. It makes a similar comparison of seeking for that which is same hidden treasures of wisdom and knowledge in Proverbs. I must also mention to you and remind you that the Bible also refers to treasures of wickedness. Treasures of wickedness. Proverbs 10:2 says, treasures of wickedness profiteth nothing, but righteousness delivers from death. So there's treasures of wickedness. There are those things which are accumulated over the years, sometimes to the wrongdoing. They are sometimes called not only wickedness, but treasures of darkness. Darkness. And I thought about that. I said, man, no wonder we're in shape like we are. Human mankind, people of America, have over the years, from time to time, time again, over many years, stored up things in their life, and now it's just broke forth, and we're in difficult straits. Amos 3:10 says, "The riches of Samaria, they know not to do right. They store up violence and robbery in their palaces. They heap up injustice and violence in their palaces like treasures." I thought I was reading about America when I read that verse. That's true. The heart of a good man is compared to the treasures of good things, while depravity man has treasures of evil. In Luke chapter 6, verse 45, "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. An evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For abundance of the heart man speaketh." Out of the abundance of the heart man speaketh. So be careful when you let your heart speak. In biblical days, it was a custom to bury money and jewels and valuables. They didn't have the first National Bank of Jerusalem, so they buried those treasures, things themselves, many places. They did it particularly during wartime or when they are threatened. They'd take and go in the back, as we would say, go in your backyard and bury your treasures and keep them, and hoping you'll come back someday and get them after all this turmoil's over. Well, then some of them never came back. It's much like during the Civil War. A lot of people went to war and never came home. And in Skaneateles, New York, in a tree in downtown, anybody been to Skaneateles? There is a sickle in the tree. In the wild tree. The tree's big like that. At least last time I visited, there was there. The man owned the place. He put his sickle up there. And it was only a little bush, you know, and he just stuck it in there and went to war. Well, never came home. And there it was, a treasure. The parable of the hidden treasures in the field, and we could read a little bit about that. Notice that what it says in just one verse, in chapter 13 of Matthew, in verse 44, "The kingdoms of the earth are like a treasure hidden in the field, and which when a man hath found the treasure, he hideth it, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all he hath, and buyeth that field." You see. There is another portion in Luke chapter 15. Chapter 15 of Luke is, I call it the three parables, which are the three S's. What are they, class? It's the prodigal son chapter. So it's the lost son, the lost coin, the lost sheep. And they start out with the sheep first, and then the coins. But notice in that portion that the woman, see the concern of the woman who has lost one coin. And this is a verse I picked out in that portion. Either what woman hath 10 pieces of silver, if she loses just one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently until she finds it. Notice, treasures. And so I'll give you that great long explanation concerning treasures, so you understand a little bit what I'm going to say in the next several minutes here. Several weeks ago, I guess it was probably nearly a month, it was before Gary called me or texted me and asked me to consider speaking today. I first said to myself, no, I can't do that. And I asked Lucille if she'd be willing to come for a long duration, and she said, well, let's try that. But she didn't make it today. Sorry about that. But as I was reading through that portion of Scripture, and came to this word treasure, I'm going to read for you the verse of Scripture that kind of stood out before me when I was reading here. It's interesting to note when we're reading God's word, we need to stop sometimes, just, okay, have a little Bible study of our own. We have a lot much more of it than we would otherwise. Exodus chapter 19, where Lucille and I were reading. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenants, this is talking about Israel, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people. So, that's fine. And then a little while later, we came across the same idea in Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 2. For thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord has chosen thee to be a peculiar people unto himself above all the nations that are upon the earth. Interesting. Deuteronomy 26 says almost the same thing and has called them this particular people that are chosen by God. And so I began to dig and looked at all the treasure things. Why did God call them that way? Well, let's go on a little further. Let's not just stay in the Old Testament. Let's find some similar words over in the New Testament. Before we get into the New Testament, we come through Psalm 135:4. For the Lord has chosen Jacob unto himself and Israel for his peculiar people, a peculiar treasure. And certainly how wonderful to find these verses. I'm going to have you turn, if you will, please, to the 43rd chapter of Isaiah. And I'm going to read verses 1 through 4. That's Isaiah chapter 43, 1 through 4. Isaiah is writing, and he says, But now thus saith the Lord, that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee, I have called thee by my name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the water, I will be with you, and when through the rivers, thou shalt not overflow thee. And when thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for your ransom, and Ethiopia and Sheba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee, and people for thy life. Notice the close love and relationship here between God himself and his people. His chosen people. His special people. In the New Testament, we have two verses, and there are probably a few others I didn't find. In Titus chapter 2, verse 14, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquities and purify unto himself peculiar people, zealous for good works. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, but ye are a chosen generation. This is a favorite one. Royal priesthood, holy nation, peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praise of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. I was impressed to no end concerning these verses of Scripture. These words found in the Old Testament, and the New Testament, we ask ourselves, what do these words really mean? Well, they mean more than the fact that they're property of a general sense. For the people of God are more than just that. He created them, but they are more than just that. They are a special people. May I remind you, if you look very carefully in a Bible dictionary, you'll find this information. But the meaning here is that Israel was a costly, valued possession as compared to other people. And many times he laid them up, put them aside, and kept them protected like a treasure or gold or silver until they were ready to and willing to move. You know, 40 years is a long time to spend in a desert. But he kept them. How many tons and tons of grain would it take to feed a million people in the desert? Well, more than what the average farmer has today in any place across the nation, even the Midwest. One farmer. Yes. But he kept them. Manna every morning, except one morning, that's the Sabbath day. On the day before the Sabbath day, there was always a double bonus. Week after week, month after month, week after year, for 40 years. The water. How much water? And they had animals. How much water does animals drink? Don't kill yourself. I'm a farmer boy. I know how much water cows drink. They drink more than you think, especially when the well goes dry, or you have to, the power went off and you had to go bail it out by hand someplace. You know, one bucket, as we call it, you know, this high and this big around, and you put it down in front of one cow and you go, and it's gone, you know. It seems like, anyway. As a teenager, it happened once like that, you know. We had to go to a little small spring. It's probably 3/4 mile or so up the road and turned into a little gorge or gully-like. And there was a spring there running 24 hours a day, 7-11, you know, coming down out of the banks. And people come. There was nice, fresh spring water. And fill up milk cans, 5, 6, 7 of them, you know, and then put them in the back of the wagon, and we take them home, and the next day the same thing true, see? It's gone. So, it is. He kept them. Laid them up for a while. They were the coveted people. A relationship unknown to any other nation. And recognized Jehovah alone as their God. It is. So it is. Isaiah 43, and as we already read here, tells us about that relationship. The words appeared here is something very special. A peculiar one of own. One, He not only created them, and He not only provided for them, He not only loved them, regardless of what they did. One time, Moses, He said to Moses, step aside. I'll take up, I'll raise somebody else. I'll get another nation to come. I'll go from scratch again. And Moses stepped in the gap for the people of Israel. Remember that? He pled with God not to destroy them because, you know, what would the nation say about this? He took them out of Egypt and then desert. He couldn't take care of them, so they all vanished from the scene. No. So it is. Here we are. It's more than just created ones. More than the fact He just loved them. But they were His own. My friend, you belong to God. God bought you with a price. With a price. It is with a price. I have returned to a portion of Scripture that's very familiar to many of us. And that's way over in the back of the New Testament, the book of Peter, the first epistle, and verse 2 and verse 9. 1 Peter 2:9. I'll wait just a minute so you can find that. We've already read it probably 2 or 3 times. You are chosen by His grace and the holy priesthood, holy nation, peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praise of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Marvelous light. How did God do that? We have been redeemed by Jesus Christ. We have been redeemed by Jesus Christ. Paul wrote to the Galatians and he said, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Before we go any farther, I'd like to think about this word redeemed. Redeemed. One thing from a boyhood days flashed through my mind. No longer do we have green stamps. How many remember the green stamps? Uh-oh. I guess you're all about the same age. And it had redemption centers, right? What does that word mean? To buy back. In the Bible, the word redemption or redeemer means means to purchase back. It really is connected with the word ransom. Bought for a price at the slave auction. They have an auction block, and on that block stood a slave during the early days of our country, and the people bought these slaves. Bottom of the price. Price. We have been bought from the kingdom of darkness, from the kingdom of Satan, from the kingdom of sin. And we are His. That price was His life. Eternal life. His life upon the cross of Calvary. His life He gave as a ransom for many, according to Mark chapter 10, verse 45. Here are some verses that gives us a little bit of idea. For we were purchased with a price, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20. Therefore glorify God with your body and with your spirit, which are God's. You are bought with a price, chapter 7, verse 23 of that same book. Be not ye servants of men. It is, we've been bought with a price. No wonder we are a unique purchase and a unique treasure. A couple of verses go over to Revelation chapter 5 and verse 9. And they sang a new song, Thou art worthy to take the book and open the seal thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred and tongue and nation, people and nation. Revelation chapter 14, verse 3 and 4. And they sang, as it were, a new song before the throne, before the four beasts and the elders. And no man could learn that song but 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. These are they that are not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they who follow the Lamb wherever He went. These are redeemed among men, being first fruits unto God to the Lamb of God, who was crucified to pay for the price of our lives. We are a peculiar people. When I think of that word, I think of an unusual, weird person. I hope you're not weird. I hope we're not weird. But we are peculiar. Now, you pastor, you realize you spoke this morning concerning that aspect of us. We're different. We ought to be different. We represent a God of the universe who loved us. That's why we're different. We are different. So it is. So good. So, we are special. We belong to Him. So we are different. Let me just say this. There are several things we should remember. That is number, we are redeemed. Number two, we're here because God intends for us to praise His name with our life, not just to sing songs. We are to praise His name in everything we do. And then this morning, Pastor talked about being separated. Let's go to this. And our speaker last Wednesday night, Brother Priest, he spoke about the same thing from John chapter 17. Let's go back to that. How many were here on Wednesday night? One, two, okay. I guess I better go to John chapter 17 that night. John chapter 17 is actually a prayer for us. He talks about this is a prayer before the Lord. Christ is before His Father and He's praying. And know these words. Verse 9 of this 17th chapter. I pray for them. He's praying for us. I pray not for the world, but for them who you have given me, and they are mine. They are mine. Say it one more time. And they are mine. We are His. And thine are mine. I am glorified in them. Okay, verse 15. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I sent them also into the world. For their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through truth. Neither pray I for them alone, but for them, here we are, also which shall believe on me through thy word. That's why we find ourselves in Scripture, right there. Verse 21, that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the Lord may believe, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Why do we keep our bodies pure, and why do we walk a holy life, and why do we follow the Lord? So that others will believe on Christ, and that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Is that what it says? Yes. That's why we live the life we live. That's why God wants us to be different in following Him. So we ask ourselves this. How do I go about my daily walk? How do I conduct myself? Do people think that I'm different? Let's remind ourselves of our obligation that we are His. We belong to Him. He cherishes us as a great treasure beyond the costly things of the world. We are special. He wants us to fulfill the purpose He has given for us. He's praying for us. He sent the Holy Spirit to guide us. So how's our conduct? I ask myself that. I trust we can answer with a great deal of affirmativeness in saying, yes, I'm doing what God wants me to do. I'm serving Him. Let's continue on. How does sin get into the church? Very gradually, very gradually. I just recently nearly finished a book on John Piper writes some books, but they're a little little deep. Pastor Raymond, do you have any John Piper's books? He's a little deep. He's actually historical facts about some of the early reformers of the church. And how did the church get that way? Like it was in Luther's day and even some days before that? Very gradually slipping down the slope of into sin and things of life. It's very gradually. Yes, it could happen here. Praise God, it don't happen here. This work goes on. I've worked on buildings, churches across America, and I can't name them all. There's probably nearly 100 churches I've worked on in the 42 years or more, and a few of those are not existent today because of the heart of man. Remember who you are. I used to be a teenager, you know. You can't believe that, huh? No, well, I was there once. When we go out on weekends or something, we go special events. We often went with other Christian young people. And my grandmother used to say to me, "Martin, remember who you are. Remember who you are." It was a double meaning, she went. Not just because you're eating. You don't want to bring disgrace to the eating family. But I don't want to bring disgrace to Jesus Christ either. Remember who you are. And so I say today, remember who you are. You're His. I know I'm His, and I'm glad. He's such a precious Savior to me. Amen? Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your guidance. Help us to walk and walk firmly. Let us rejoice and rejoice without end because we're yours. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.